Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
It's either now or never. How's that?
Just getting some suggestions, and so I thought I'd try that. What do you think? Is that a good way to start it off? It's either now or never if we're going to reclaim this republic. There you go, folks. This show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. Ooh, he's getting straight into the obligatories. I want to kind of cover all of this because I need to circle back around because we've talked a bit about the roles and, you know, I at a high level view, the process of taking counties constitutionally, but we never really talked about what that structure should be. And as a matter of fact, that structure kind of exists today. And that structure, as far as I'm concerned, has been duplicated in lots of different ways. And it has created this competition over agendas instead of over the Constitution. But we'll get into that as our next trip into content. As you know, you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. And again, I hope you enjoyed the visit on the Rumble show today. Fortitude Financial Coaching with Gary Smith will help you see what you need to do. You only need to do it. You only need to be disciplined and committed to doing it. Get the help you need as you begin down this road of what we call freedom. Over 80% of America, folks, and you're probably, actually, it's over 80%, more than 80% of all Americans are not free because they are literally living from hand to mouth. Now, I'm not talking about people that are in poverty and on the government dole. Part of it is that, but most people, I mean, I know people that have income. What they bring in a month is over $10,000 a month, and they can't save money. That is an indictment. I mean, they're spending way too much on their lifestyle and not on their future because their current lifestyle is going to actually put them in a position where they will become slaves in the future. Because when all it takes is one little thing to upset the cart, and next thing you know, it all starts to collapse. I've seen that. As a matter of fact, I had a really good friend that was just got all sorts of education, was doing lots of good things, and was well invested, heavily invested in rental properties. And in the 2000, I think it was the 2008 collapse, he lost everything because he was overextended. He probably, had he sold and had he positioned himself for the long run where he would be able to at least make money, you know, and not actually have to deal with the flexible loans or what have you. Anyway, that's what happens, folks. You can lose everything. Free constitutional classes for those who need it, which means who is that? Who needs constitutional classes? Everybody. I still enjoy learning about the Constitution. And you can attend almost any class, even I can, and still see or learn things that even I didn't know. Yes. Check it out. Constitution classes at constitutioneducation.us. Two words combined, constitutioneducation.us. Timber Nation, if you're looking for furniture that will become heirloom furniture, then you want to go to timbernation.com, period. End of story. Radio dust covers, if you want to preserve your ham radio, any of your expensive electronics that can be decimated by time, dust, hair, smoke, what have you. And if you're looking for ISP services to, you know, start your domain, start your business, e-business, adlocal.com. Check out AdLocal. They're out of Michigan. And I will just tell you that You know, Ben would be happy to help you. So go check out adlocal.com. Now, Harry, old friend, I hope you're listening. I hope you've seen the error of your ways and can actually start making amends. You know, what do you do when you become, when you realize you were the culprit in causing all these problems? Well, there's people that just, okay, I won't do that anymore. I'm sorry. I believe you have some mending to do. When people kind of realize a person of good character will actually try to make up for the wrongs or the stupidity that they, you know, put upon society. Anywho, our comment line, 425-270-5416. And we will be getting back into the definitizing of the Constitution, why it's so important, and the issues that it brings up are the things we have to kind of cover. Anyway, again, last Monday, I started on this down this path of trying to get into the basics. It took 2 days with the conversations with Keith to kind of disrupt that. So hopefully we can end it where it'll actually be 5 days of covering the basics. As the constitutional framework was laid, and as the states started moving forward and people started plowing forward with trust in this system, as I said, there were players that were already trying to aggrandize. Now, I don't believe Hamilton's design was to invoke communism in America, but his design took wax at the framework and the system, all as violations, and basically helped everybody see, oh, well, shoot, if we do this, we might be able to do that and get away with this. And so the whole point of the Article 5 process is to ensure that the parties allow. I honestly believe that there needs to be a mechanism. This could be an amendment to the Constitution, that it only takes one state to step forward and say, I believe that we have to not convene an Article 5 convention, but I believe when the state looks at something that the federal government is doing, I believe that they should be able to parlay or call for a parlay of the states and be able to, you know, have an open and honest discussion, and the conversation has to start off with, where are these powers? Had they had this, and had they done this, basically that's what we're talking about with Republic Review. There probably would not have been a problem with the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. However, what ended up happening, because they were already assuming powers, they were already doing things that they knew they shouldn't be doing. And what I mean by that is they already went down this path of the Assumption Act and so forth. And there are other little teeny things. Now, anybody that tells you that America was paying Britain its war debts and was basically paying tribute to the king, that's incorrect. America, who may have had debts to banks or what have you prior to, but the only payments that were coming from America, whether it be the Continental Congress or whether it be from the states that assumed these or what have you, America did not pay tribute to the king. We did honor our debt, but we did not pay tribute, nor did we capitulate and allow Britain compensation or give them any compensation for the property, land, and everything else we took from the Tories or those supporters of the British crown, those people we kicked out. That all that seizure of property that was turned back to the states and turned back to the governments, what happened with that was left to the discretion of the governments and the people, period. So as they were moving forward, it did not take long. As soon as the party systems were created, and what I mean the party systems, because obviously the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, you know, were in existence prior to the Constitution, because the ratification debates had, or there was clearly this organization of anti-federalists, and they were meeting and they were getting organized. And if you don't think that they were organized, they were, because what ended up happening in the very first session of Congress, both New York and Virginia, anti-federalist states, actually petitioned Congress to actually call for an Article 5 convention. Those two states wanted to basically subvert what was happening, and that actually helped empower Madison in looking at, you know, or selling this concept of looking at all of these recommended amendments from the states, because during the ratification debates, all the states forwarded to Continental Congress their recommendations to the Constitution. So Madison basically took those, and then he did kind of a data call, went out to the other states and so forth and didn't provide them, and said, let us know what you want as far as amendments. One of the things that I found out that is really hard to understand, but it isn't if you understand the times, that every state wanted to get rid of the religious test clause, or they wanted to invoke the ability to have religious tests. Why? Because they felt that it was important to be able to ensure that those people were moral and righteous people in the service of their country and of their countrymen. Now, we'll get back to this religious test as soon as we get back from these two promos. We'll be right back after this. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as the Adams administration actually moved forward after Washington, now Washington is kind of interesting, was able to maintain some level of harmony, even though his own administration was tearing apart because Jefferson and Hamilton were at complete odds, and Madison went to complete odds with, you know, with Jefferson. He sided, obviously, with his close friend. And Monroe ended up going there. And interestingly enough, Monroe didn't actually choose, you know, Hamilton and or Jefferson. He actually maintained his relationship, because Monroe and Hamilton go all the way back to the Revolutionary War as military men. And so
I was sharing this little tidbit back in the old days of duels. It was kind of interesting. And I want to say, I don't know if it was a Monroe biography or a Hamilton biography, but there was a point in time where Hamilton and Monroe were at odds with each other. And Hamilton kind of insulted Monroe. And Monroe challenged Hamilton to a duel before Aaron Burr did. Interestingly enough, that name happened to be present at that very same time. Aaron Burr basically came, you know, stepped in between these two men and said, hey, hold on. You know, you guys are, you know, patriots. You guys are your friends. You're allies. You know, come on, let's think about this. You really want to end, you know, the importance that each of you are doing, you know. And so anyway, Aaron Burr was the one that actually, you know, talked these guys down to, you know, dealing with it and moving on. Hamilton had a problem, though, because he liked to insult people. He was, you know, he had this rough coarseness about his personality that when you read about how he spoke of people and so forth, very condescending, very patronizing. Anyway, as time moved forward, Hamilton insulted Aaron Burr, and now we know the rest of the story, because by the time Aaron Burr and Hamilton got over to the island, because they had to actually get in a boat and get over to the island, Aaron Burr was fuming. There was nobody talking him down. I think Monroe was gone. I don't think Monroe said, hey, remember what you said? Take your own advice here, brother. Nothing like that. And so Hamilton won the draw. He was able to, you know, he was the one that was going to be able to shoot first. And had he actually shot Aaron Burr, he was a good marksman. He could have easily shot and incapacitated Burr instead of killing him. But instead, he threw his shot by actually firing up into the air. Now, I don't know Aaron Burr's background, not as well as, you know, Hamilton, Monroe, and the rest of these guys, but I do know this. He was still so upset that he didn't care if as a matter of fact, he was thankful that he could deliver justice to Hamilton. And so he took aim, and he aimed, and he hit, I don't know which critical organ he hit, but Hamilton died a very slow, painful death. I think it took something like 6 to 9 hours, something like that. There was time for him to get back into the boat. I think his wife might have been with him, but I know his wife was with him when he died. But anyhow, it's kind of a fascinating story that, you know, the death and demise of Hamilton. In a way, it was due to his own personal shortcomings, if you understand what I'm saying. Because leaders create alliances. Leaders don't go around and insulting people. Hamilton was not a leader. Hamilton was a maniacal, nefarious person. And I just have a hard time having any type of, any form of respect for that man. Not because of him being an adulterer, or not because of one thing specifically, but just overall, it was like, I believe Jefferson and Madison referred to him as the creature, because that's how they thought of him. Anywho, when we start looking, though, I don't think it was Hamilton's design to actually destroy. He just wanted to strengthen the powers of the federal government and strengthen the executive. He wanted a lifetime executive, like a monarch. All of those things were rejected by the states. All of those things were rejected by America a second time during the Adams administration. Now, I will say that Hamilton played a very important role in the Adams administration. As a matter of fact, he was the guy directly responsible for the midnight judges and getting Adams to make these judge appointments and who they were. Adams did not know these men. He did not know these men at all. And so this all came from basically Hamilton's hand. Now, in addition, Hamilton, he was an opportunist. And I wouldn't be surprised if Hamilton might have been behind the Alien and Sedition Acts. More specifically, he understood the power of silencing. I mean, I can't say that it was Hamilton that did it, but because he had such, he had a way of gaining the control and influence of others that I can actually see how Hamilton might have had his hands in this process of passing these acts. Now, when these acts passed, Jefferson and Madison recognized that this was a portal of tyranny that the federal government had just opened, and they had no authority to do this. So what did they do? Well, Jefferson went off and created the Kentucky Resolution. Now, let me give you the timeline. The Alien and Sedition Acts was passed in July of 1798, and the Kentucky Resolution was passed, or actually was written and sent to Kentucky in October 98. So that's only like 3-4 months, right? Yeah, 3 months. And so, in other words, Jefferson had to figure out what and how to do. So there's no doubt in my mind that once those acts passed and once Jefferson and Madison digested them, they had to come up with a plan of what they were going to do. And I do not believe that they're, because had they really done it as an original part of their plan in creating the party and creating a run against Adams, I think that they would have, you would have seen signs of that at the end of the 1790s, at the beginning of the 1798, 1799 time frame. And so what I see happened is that Jefferson basically sent these off. Madison followed in kind as the second man theory and basically got Virginia to respond in December. So it was December 24th. Christmas Eve, because they did not recognize, and as a matter of fact, Christmas Day and Christmas Eve did not exist in 1798. I'm telling you, it did not exist. Christmas Day, the 25th, and the 24th, those 2 days did not exist in the world as recognizing Christmas or the birth of Christ and the magic of all that season. That didn't exist. That was decades from coming down the road. And it was founded here in America. And we'll get into that on our Christmas Eve show, because Christmas Day is on a Saturday. So you'll only get it on Christmas Eve. But you're going to want to hear it, because this actually helps people start to see and understand when people work together, you can actually, you know, get away with murder. And I don't mean Christmas became murder, but when we look at how they started learning and manipulating and so forth, they got better and better at it. And the CIA and other government organizations started learning better ways and more successful ways of manipulating people. It's always been this dark-seated side of the deep state and how far back the deep state goes. But anyway, so Madison and the Virginia Resolution, he actually worked with the Virginia Resolution. He talks about, you know, what they discussed during those meetings as they were coming up with these resolutions and why the wording was what it was. And so they launched out their response to Kentucky. Now, shortly after that is when other states started responding. They actually took it serious when Virginia responded from Kentucky's response, or from the original resolution from Kentucky. When you started looking at all the other states actually started insulting Virginia and Kentucky and started insinuating that they might have been considered treasonous or something to that effect. Now, one of the things I think at this point in time that really impressed Madison, or if I think drove the importance of the Union, if not that he didn't understand it in a profound way already, He started recognizing the profoundness of how the states have this obligation of, I'll just say, acting together and reacting together. And so he was, I don't want to say he was hurt, but you could tell it didn't necessarily bode well with him. And so Jefferson, in April of 1799, responded with a second Kentucky Resolutions And he basically puts it out there that he, you know, that he lamented. So you could tell he was hurt or he was really bothered. And he also made this comment that the states, and actually what I should do is I should actually quote this because it's kind of important when I actually use the actual wording. What is it that, you know, he really said? Well, okay, so I'm going to go down that path and try to give that to you, but it's going to take me a second. Oh, well, how apropos. We've got a break. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to actually read what he says regarding nullification, which was out of step and out of turn. And I'll explain that when we come back, because this was the time of, you know, trying men's souls and so forth. But anyway, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the precise wording that Jefferson used, and this is the only time nullification actually was brought into the conversation. The word nullify did not exist in Jefferson's first resolution, nor did it exist in Madison's resolution, the Virginia resolution, nor did it exist in Madison's report. So when you compare Jefferson's response to Madison's response, a huge difference. Jefferson's is really emotional. It is one of those, you know, we're hurt, you insinuated, and so forth. Madison was very methodical. He was very direct, and he was very clear as to what he was trying to communicate. And he actually academically justified why the states had to interpose, not nullify. But he didn't say not nullify. He said that they had to interpose, period. It wasn't or they could nullify. And it wasn't until 1834 when Madison actually expounded on this in his notes on nullification and clarified and provided to the whole world that him and Jefferson's intent was not to strictly nullify, that as states, they had an obligation to the Union to coexist under the same tyranny until they could all take the stand together against the federal government. Well, anyways, let me get into what Jefferson said, then we'll kind of work our way around what ended up happening. This is what he said. let me see here. That the principle and construction contended for by sundry, by a variety of the state legislators, that the general government is the exclusive judge of the extent of the powers delegated to it, stopped nothing short of despotism, since the discretion of those who administer the government and not the Constitution would be the measure of their powers. That the several states who formed that instrument, the Constitution, being sovereign and independent, have the unquestionable right to judge of its infraction, and that a nullification by those sovereignties of all unauthorized acts done under color of that instrument is the rightful remedy that this Commonwealth does upon the most deliberate and reconsideration declare that the said alien and sedition laws are, in their opinion, palpable violations of the Constitution, and however cheerfully it may be disposed to surrender its opinion to a majority of its sister states in matters of ordinary, doubtful policy, yet in momentous regulations like the present, which so vitally wound the best rights of the citizen, it would consider a silent acquiescence as highly criminal, that although this Commonwealth, as a party to the federal compact, will bow to the laws of the Union, yet it does at the same time declare that it will not now nor ever hereafter cease to oppose in constitutional manner every attempt from what quarter whatsoever offend to violate that compact. So in other words, they weren't nullifying. And to be clear, Madison goes into this concept of nullification in 1834, that nullification really required a state. If a state was going to nullify, they needed to secede because they had an obligation to be harmonious and to harmoniously accept the compact, this marriage of these states. He also understood how vital, how important it was for the states to actually, you know, be engaged in the union so that they could protect each other and work together. So when we look at what's happened, when we look at what's going on, when we look at what happened with the Alien Sedition Acts, I think we can now place context to say, okay, so what did they end up doing? They ended up basically allowing those bad acts, those violations of the Constitution to exist. But Madison and Jefferson didn't give up. Madison and Jefferson felt that because they couldn't get the other states to actually get on board, they actually started a grassroots movement by creating the Republican Party. Any historian that tells you they created the Democratic Republican Party or the Democrat Party, they're lying to you. Madison himself referred to the party they created as the Republican Party. Jefferson, during the inaugural address, his first inaugural address, after beating out Adams and unseating Adams, Jefferson basically, to try to heal the wounds of the nation, didn't say we're all Democrats, we're all, you know, Federalists. He said we're all Republicans and we're all Federalists. And in so doing, he unified. Now, when we look at the details of what Madison was trying to do, Madison was clearly stating that this, and Jefferson kind of stated it the same, but he used nullification, which is an improper word. Madison goes into the point that if you're nullifying something, you're nullifying something that is proper, something that, you know, like something in the Constitution that becomes problematic or becomes immoral, such as returning slaves to the southern states when they run away. That's actually in the Constitution. Later on, the northern states actually said, we're not going to abide by this. We find this immoral. This should be removed because it violates God's law, the laws of nature, and our Declaration of Independence. So anyway, those types of things, that's what you nullify. And the only way nullification can be done is by the authority that created the law itself. The federal government comes along and creates a law based on something out of thin air. Well, where's the authority behind that? That the authority did not come from the states. The point is the states gave them the authority to do everything they can do. So the states have to step in and they have to amend the Constitution when it comes to problems that must be nullified. In other words, problems that actually exist within the legal and the legitimate Constitution. Well, when you're looking at the Department of Education and the establishment of the Department of Education and all these other violations, there's nothing based upon that in the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't need changing. The Constitution is not the problem. So in other words, an amendment in dealing with violations of the Constitution is not what you need to do. You have to interpose. The states actually have to. And this is why in Madison's report of 1800, he goes into detail that the only court, the only tribunal that is superior over that Constitution are the parties itself. And only when they form together into a tribunal with the intent to address the grievances, to address the violations, only then can they actually identify what the problem is and what they are willing to do to fix it. So, as we look at Republic Review, as we look at what Madison and Jefferson did in 1798, you should actually see how these things just, they're not perpendicular, they are parallel, they are aligned, they're twined. And so when we start seeing, you know, people saying, we've got to amend the Constitution, we've got to create an amendment to, you know, to stop this, like the balanced budget amendment or the term limits. Term limits doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't take away the guns and weapons that the government shouldn't be holding. The only way to take away the guns and weapons is for the parents to stand up and take those guns and weapons from them. It doesn't matter how long they serve in Congress. They can still kill with those guns and weapons. You don't just say, okay, well, we're going to fix the problem because you can only be in the House of Representatives for 2 years. What? How does that fix the problem? The guns and weapons will still exist and they'll still be able to use them against the American people. So the fact is the only way we're going to actually get the federal government into compliance is we actually have to force them to do so. And in some cases, we're going to have to remove them on charges of treason, in addition to charges of violating their oath of office and committing moral perjury. Charges of treason is a stiff charge to prove. However, the qualifications under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment of violating their oath for failing to support the Constitution and banning them from public service should be sufficient to clearing the ranks of any and all. I will tell you that in any of the states that are performing Republic Review, because each of the states may have, well, Texas and some of the bigger states like Pennsylvania may have actual Democrats that are in Congress. And those Democrats will not lift a finger. At least they don't think that they will lift a finger. They'll try to actually do anything and everything they can to subvert the efforts. Anything they can to subvert the efforts. But they will realize that what will end up happening is they will be recalled by their state legislature and charged by their attorney general to be extradited back to the states for committing moral perjury and to be tried for treason to determine if they willingly and knowingly are working in subverting our constitutional republic. And so they're instantly going to be removed. They'll instantly be replaced. And I'm telling you, folks, when people start looking around the room and they go, what just happened to so-and-so? Look at these people from these states. Where'd they go? Most of these Democrats and rhinos that refuse, if they still are able to dupe the people in those states to reelect them, they will be gone, or they will have to get along we'll be back on what they will have to do when we come back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when we look at Republic Review, when we look at Jefferson and Madison's attempt to coalesce the states, unite the states on the fact that the federal government does not have the authority to do these things, on the fact that the states never delegated these powers, and so they actually have to pull the federal government back. They have to bring them back in and get them back within the boundaries of the Constitution. So when we look at Republic Review, when we look at this process, I want to be right up front with you. I am not I have a pretty good understanding, I would say maybe a profound understanding of the contract and contract law to some extent. I do understand collateral estoppel. I understand some of these things. I am not a lawyer, but I am here to tell you that when it comes down to whether it exists in the contract or not, you can't obfuscate, you can't pervert a contract. In other words, when it comes down to auditing and determining whether the federal government has the formal authority delegated to them or not, then it comes out really nice and clear, folks. There's no way that this can actually go south. There's no way they can save themselves from this, I'll just say, this inevitable destination that they're heading towards. And that inevitable destination is a complete, purging of all unconstitutional features, all unconstitutional powers, all unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, everything. Their ability to, inject themselves into marriage, their ability to inject themselves into your children and your parenting and your life and your health and health vaccination. None of that stuff will exist when the states actually finish. You have to understand that the services that the general government was to provide external protections for national security. This is one of the reasons why I hound, and this is a part of aligning our rights to getting our Bill of Rights to align with the 21st century. And the problem again, the problem with the Bill of Rights themselves, because where are your property rights in the Bill of Rights? We know that we have a right to life, liberty, and property, but is there anything that says you have a right to property and the government can't take it or tax it away from you? No. Well, what happened? See, my point is that we have to go through and we have to clearly delineate. The states need to clearly delineate what many of those things mean. And why is this important? Because where in the Constitution does the federal government have the formal power to allow a foreign nation or a foreign corporation or a foreign person to purchase property, land, or what have you? I mean, it's one thing if they're in immigration status. They, you know, it's one thing if they are an immigrant and they're coming here and they want to buy land because they have the money and so forth. That's okay. Then that would be their land. But the Chinese Communist Party owning, you know, and buying up food companies and so forth. Are you kidding me? There is no way the design of this framework, the design of this nation and constitution, the framers ever fathomed that the people at the helm of government would actually allow those who are seeking to destroy government buying those precious resources such as our food, such as our manufacturing, and all of those types of things out from underneath us so that they can destroy us. And the fact that there have been players in the federal government that have actually enabled and allowed these things to happen. This is why definitizing the Constitution is that important. This is why there is nothing like now to start getting involved. If you're not getting involved, then you know, as we say in the Marine Corps, lead, follow, or get the out of the way. And there you go. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Anywho, so as we wrap up, and what do I got, about 6 minutes left. So as we wrap up, you can kind of see, you can clearly see, if you read these documents, and this is why I actually read these documents for you, and I'm hoping that you actually read these documents yourself, you can start really seeing that when Madison talked about the Union stepping in, the Union required plurality. It required a majority of the states to exert its authority over that compact. That's all you need is a majority. I mean, it would be nice to have a supermajority, like 3/4 of the states. But when we see so many of the states, like California, like New York, and others that, you know, are heavily populated, they're going down this path of communism because the Bolshevik Revolution is alive and well. These blue states, they're not going to want to see the federal government in compliance. This is why we had that conversation with Keith. And I want to get back to that. I'd love to find out. And I think Keith is inclined now. I think he actually told me post-interview that as I pose that question, he can see the importance of protecting the citizens in those states from that form of government. Because bottom line, the Constitution guarantees to each person a Republican form of government. And in so doing, there's no way that those governments can actually go down the path of creating a communistic state, taking from one and giving to another, controlling the means of production as well as the means of consumption. So, as we kind of covered the basics, you should be able to now see what the ideology was that started fermenting, what that ideology, you know, was as it started growing and maturing, as it created this length of history through England. And then all of a sudden, somehow it got on these ships and came to this new world. And it somehow, the thoughts were cherished in this new world where the ambitions of people with the ideas of control, taking away the liberty of others and actually seizing control and getting people into the herd and into the collectivist mold, it is not a chance. It was not circumstance. It was not just a fluke that in 1776, three documents were created. We all know about the Declaration of Independence. The other two, most people don't know, but they have heard of at least one of them. It was not a fluke that when we declared independence, that Adam Smith wrote the book, The Wealth of Nations, to lay the foundation in how to have a free economy and literally allowing a free market to exist and to allow a nation to compete and to grow within the global market. The problem is that those who like controlling things, because at the time there were mercantile markets. Today we do not have a free market. We have a mercantile market. And the governments involved in controlling that are controlling it more and more and more. As you start to see certain products that you loved or you liked unavailable, you can start betting your bottom dollar that there are going to be certain things that will just become obsolete. And that's because they don't care that you have those things. They don't want you to have the ability to grow your own food to become self-sufficient. They consider that a threat. You have to start recognizing that the leaders of the world and those people that are involved in one fashion or another of moving the society towards communism, that paradigm, that ideology of the ends justify the means is out of the closet. It's in your face. And now it's not about us being tolerant. It's about survival, folks. We were tolerant towards them in allowing them to at least, you know, permeate these ideas and say, you know, it's okay to have these open debates. Well, obviously, they haven't been open debates. Obviously, they have been buying. And as, you know, most people point out, and actually, Catherine Duran of the NLA, she's very good at pointing out that, you know, what they do is they coerce you. What they do is they get every politician to go out and ingratiate themselves in whatever perversion that, you know, whether it be a lust for money or a lust for whatever, it's all wrong and immoral, and you can be blackmailed over those things, and that's how they control all of these politicians. That's how. So most people that go into public service, they go, oh, I'm going to be able to do these great things. The next thing you know, all of a sudden they realize, shoot, I don't even have a soul left. How'd that happen? Why is it that so many Democrats are not seeking re-election? I mean, it's almost 20 now. It's ratcheting up as we get closer and closer to the 2022 election. I find it interesting that it was so many of the Republicans in the first term of, or the first midterm for Trump, and now the first midterm for Biden. Well, it's not a coincidence, my friends. That third document, by the way, of 1776 was the Charter for the Illuminati by Adam Weishaupt. It was the plan of how they would be able to take over the world and subjugate it to a communist government. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.